Our children are excused for children's worship. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and to find with me the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 5 is where we will be this morning as we study God's Word together. I am absolutely convinced this morning that God wants to do and God can do more in the hour that we have together than anything that happens on Capitol Hill today. And I believe that God is sovereign and God can and He will accomplish His purposes in our lives. And this morning I want us to think about no turning back. No turning back. We are continuing to walk through the Bible, or walk through the Gospel of Luke. This morning we come to a passage of Scripture that I know is very familiar to many of you. It's the story of Jesus calling His first disciples. And as I prayed over that passage this past week and meditated on it and asked God to speak through me, I believe that God has spoken to my heart, and I've had to preach this message, as I preach all of them, to myself, as I preach it to you. And so I pray that it would speak to you as it has already spoken to me this morning. The Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter. Please stand with me as we read together verses 1 through 11. The words are on the screen if you need to follow along there. The Bible says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And so he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Father, I thank you so very much for your word. God, I thank you that your word is true. And God, we pray that your word would speak into our hearts today, that God, these moments that we have together would be moments that are consecrated by you. And God, we pray that your Spirit, Lord, would speak to each of us, that we would understand the word that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today we are going to read about and talk about the master fisherman who was Simon Peter, who was introduced to and had the opportunity to fish with the master of the fish, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful fish story, but it's not the normal fish story. It's not full of exaggerations or lies. It's a story that is marked with truth. It's marked with truth about what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I want to take this passage of Scripture this morning, and I want to show you four of the marks of a disciple of Jesus. Four marks of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I pray that these marks would be something that each of us can examine our hearts and our lives. If we call ourselves Christians, we can say, do these marks resonate in my life? And only you can answer that question this morning. The first mark that I see as I read this passage of Scripture is that a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, is willing to listen to Jesus. He is a listener of Jesus. Notice what happens in verse number one. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. Now, at this particular time, Jesus' reputation was growing. He was becoming well-known in that area. He was becoming well-known in that city. And people were beginning to come to hear him. They were seeking him out. And as they sought him out, they come to Genesaret, which is another name for the lake or the Sea of Galilee. And notice that the Bible says that a huge crowd is pressing in on him. And notice the Bible says that they were coming, they were gathering to hear the word of God. You see, I believe that these people were coming for the right reason. They were coming because they wanted to hear a message. They wanted to hear the words of God. I believe that the basis and the essence and the center of authority, the center of a ministry, is the preaching of God's word. If there is no preaching of God's word, then we are doing the wrong things. Listen, I don't care. I don't want people to come to Enon Baptist Church because we've got great parking. All right, that doesn't matter to me. I don't want people to say I'm going to Enon Baptist Church because they've got the greatest youth program. I don't want people to come to Enon Baptist Church because simply because we have a new building. I want people to come because they have a desire to hear the power of the Word of God and allow that Word of God to transform their lives. That's what they came to hear Jesus do. They came to hear Jesus preaching and talking about the things of God. That was what drew them to Jesus. Now, there was a problem because the number of people were pressing in around him, and so he needed some space. He needed some space in order to preach, in order to proclaim the message that God had given him to preach. And so he says to Simon Peter, he says, can I use one of your boats? Let's push out a little bit from the sea. And so he gets into the boat and he pushes out a little bit. And listen, the boat becomes his pulpit. And the sea or the lake becomes his sound system. If you've ever been to a lake and you're on one side and another person somewhere on the other side and you can yell or talk and you can hear each other. It must be a law of physics. I don't know, but there's something about the water. The voice carries clearly across the water. And so Jesus is on that boat, and he's preaching, and he's teaching from the boat. Some of the people that were standing on the seashore, some of the people that were standing on the shore there, were becoming disciples. Because a disciple is someone who listens to Jesus. This is the context in which discipleship always begins. Notice I said begins. Because in order to follow Jesus, we must first hear him. In order to follow Jesus, we must first hear him. For the people who lived in Galilee, that meant that they had to go to hear Jesus speak. We don't go to hear Jesus speak any longer. What we do is we come to study God's word. And let me tell you this, friends, we come to study God's word corporately, but we also must study God's word individually. And I believe that there is a great disconnect in the church of God today between people who say, yes, I listen to God, but they never pick up their Bibles from Monday until Saturday. They're dependent on their spiritual maturity on Sunday morning for 45 minutes, or sometimes they don't even give me 45 minutes. They check out after 15 or 10.
Listen, you will never grow to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ if you are dependent on the Word of God being preached to you for 30 minutes out of the week. There must be a listening to the Word of God on our own, individually, inside of our home, inside of our car, inside of our work, wherever that might be, a place where you can go and you can hear from God. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening to God speak? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Are you listening? Are you listening to what God says? Not just on Sunday mornings, but are you listening to what God says all throughout the week? A follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, will be a person who is listening to Him. I believe that the person who needed to hear Jesus the most was sitting right there on the boat with Him. The person who needed to hear Jesus the most was Simon Peter. Peter needed to hear Jesus. Now, he knew Jesus for some time. He knew about Jesus. In fact, he had invited Him into his home. He came into his home and healed his mother-in-law. But it seems that Peter had not made a full decision for Jesus. He had not made a full, complete decision to follow after Jesus. Listen, that is a wonderful reminder this morning. It's a wonderful reminder that it is not enough to listen to what Jesus said without doing what Jesus says. In fact, I believe it's very dangerous. I believe that knowledge without obedience is extremely dangerous. And we need to make sure that we are not just coming and soaking in knowledge and not doing something with the knowledge that God has given to us. Because if we are, it is a dangerous thing. Remember last week I read a passage of Scripture where Jesus is speaking to the people in Capernaum, and He says, "Woe is you, it is better for the people in Sodom in hell than it is for you." Why could He say that? He was saying that because the people in Capernaum, they had great knowledge. They had heard the words of Jesus Christ. They had seen Jesus do great things. And He says, "Woe is you," because they've received so much knowledge, but they haven't done anything with it. And I'm concerned that the church in America is in the same position. We have the majority of gospel preachers living right here in America. We have all of the advantages to listen and to fill our minds with Scripture. But if we don't do anything with it, we are in trouble. So the question this morning, the first step to understanding what it means to be a disciple is, are you listening? And not just listening, but are you taking what you are listening to and putting it into practice? Are you listening? Number two, a disciple of Christ is willing to turn away from their sins. Willing to turn away from their sins. Listen, in order to follow Jesus Christ, we have to listen to Him, and we also must be willing to make a decision to turn away from our sins. The person who makes the greatest turnabout in this story is Simon Peter. Here's what happens. They get into the boat, and they push out. Jesus sits down. He begins to preach. He begins to talk to them. Verse 4 says, Jesus looks at Simon Peter, and He says, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, here's what we know has happened. Here's what we know. Peter, probably James and John, had been out fishing all night long. Okay, that's when they needed to go fishing. That's when the fish would bite the most. And so they had been out fishing all night long, and they had caught nothing. All right? Now, I did a little bit of fishing when I was younger with my dad, and no fisherman likes to come back catching nothing, do they? No, we don't like to catch. We like to bring stuff back. We like to catch stuff. In fact, especially if that is your livelihood. I mean, that's how they ate. That's how they paid their bills. And so when they didn't catch anything, I've got a feeling that they were tired and they were discouraged. Not only that, but they had also spent great amount of time cleaning their nets. That's what the Bible says in verse number 2. They were washing their nets. That means that they had brought them in and they were washing their nets, getting them ready for the next night of fishing. And so they had already spent all that time, all that effort, getting their nets ready. And also, here's another fact. These were professional fishermen. These were professional fishermen. That means that they knew when to go fishing. They knew when the fish were going to be biting. They knew everything that there was to know about fishing. And then here comes Jesus, and he says, let's go fishing. Go back out in the sea. Go back out in the water, and let's do some fishing. Listen, no one likes to get on-the-job training from someone in a different line of work, do you? I mean, you know, Peter was the professional here, not Jesus. And Peter was probably thinking, okay, Jesus, if you want to teach the Bible, that's one thing, but I'm the fisherman here. You know, I'm the one that knows about fishing. But he says, push out. Push out. And Peter, verse number 5, very significant, answers, Master, we toiled all night. We worked all night, and we took nothing. We used to call that getting skunked, okay? They didn't catch anything. All night. He says, but at your word, I will let down the net. Underline those words if you write in your Bible. Underline those words. But at your word, I will let down your net. Listen, even though he was reluctant to obey, he still obeyed. Even though he was reluctant to obey, he still obeyed. It took a great amount of faith on his part to push out into the deep. I believe that Peter had to overcome two obstacles. These are two obstacles that everybody in this room must overcome if they're going to be a follower of Jesus. The first obstacle is this. He had to overcome the obstacle of human reason. The obstacle of human reason. You see, Peter was a fishing expert. And everything that he had ever been taught about fishing told him that he couldn't catch fish at that time and at that location. Jesus' request seemed unreasonable. His request seemed unreasonable. But Peter ignored the temptation to trust his own understanding, and he said, I'm going to obey, I'm going to push off. That reminds me of a verse of Scripture found in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, sometimes we have to think and have faith that even though humanly thinking, humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. Even though humanly speaking, it doesn't add up. God says that this is the direction that we need to go in, and so we need to push out into the deep, take a step of faith, and follow Jesus. Some of you haven't obeyed Jesus. You haven't obeyed Jesus simply because you can't understand how what he says to do will work for you. Let me encourage you this morning to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Peter had overcome the voice of human reason. He also had to overcome the voice of personal experience. Experience is a powerful force in our lives. It's often what we call hindsight. Peter could have said, look, Lord, I've just fished those waters. He could have said, look, Lord, my experience says that we aren't going to catch any fish. Or he could have said, look, Lord, in my experience of fishing many years, I've never caught fish in deep waters in the hot morning hours. Did you notice? He resisted the voice of experience and he said, because you said so, I'm going to push out. Because you said so, I'm going to push out. There might be some people here this morning and you had an experience in the church. You've had an experience that wasn't so good. And because of that experience that you had, you are resisting the call of God. You're resisting what God wants you to do in your life. I want to encourage you this morning to trust in God. Have faith in God that no matter what that personal experience was in the past, you are going to move forward with Jesus. What happens next? Verses 6 and 7. I love these words. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and so their nets were breaking. I mean, this was the catch of a lifetime. And not only that, they signaled for some more boats to come in, and those boats come in, and those boats begin to sink. Can you imagine? I mean, this was a catch that, unlike any catch before. Their nets were breaking, their boats were sinking. These were fish stories that would last for centuries. This was amazing. What's even more amazing is Peter's reaction. Look what happens to Peter in verse 8. Peter says, the Bible says, Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter learned to take Jesus at his word. But the main thing that he learned in that experience was his sinfulness. Here's what happened. This was a spontaneous, this was an impulsive act of humble repentance. Even though the boat was sinking, he still was willing to kneel down, fall down right there, and confess that he was unworthy. He was not even fit to ride in the same boat with Jesus. What did Peter repent of? I believe that Peter, as he saw the situation, as he saw Jesus perform this miracle, Peter saw Jesus for who Jesus was. Peter saw Jesus for being the holy man of God. Peter saw Jesus in all of his glory. And when we see Jesus in all of his glory, the result is we will fall in repentance. It's the only result. Only result, when we truly see Jesus for who he is. You say, well, how do you know that? Look what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says that Simon calls him master. See that? Circle it. He calls him master. Master, because you said we should push out, we're going to push out. All right? He calls him master. What's he call him in verse 8? Are you looking at your Bible? What's he call him in verse 8, friends? He calls him the Lord. You see, he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that he was nothing and Jesus was the Lord. I like what one commentator says. His name is Plummer. He says, "It is the master whose orders must be obeyed, but the Lord whose holiness causes moral agony to the sinner." You see, Peter understood that he was in the presence of someone who was perfectly holy, and that by contrast, he himself was totally depraved. And so the result was he falls down and confesses his sin before the Lord. Let me tell you something, friends. Sooner or later, every disciple must come to the point where they fully understand their sinfulness before God. Every disciple must come to the point where they fully repent of their pride and their selfishness and the sins that so easily beset us. Have you repented of your sins? Confessed your sins to the Lord? We need to move on to the third mark of a follower of Christ. The third mark of the follower of Christ is they will become a fisher of men. You see, when we see our sin, the natural result is want to run away from God. That's what Isaiah did. Isaiah said the same thing in Isaiah 6. The natural result is to want to run away from God. This is what Peter tried to do. He says, "Depart from me. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You see, when we finally see how sinful we are, when we finally recognize how sinful we are, it is our only natural result to feel that we do not deserve to come into God's presence. We are too guilty to be where God is. And that's exactly what Peter was thinking. That's exactly what Peter was feeling. And that's why Jesus assures him in verse 10, "Do not be afraid." Jesus is reassuring Peter. He's reassuring you and I that we, even though we are full of sin, even though we repented of our sins, that we can still be in his presence. And not only can we still be in his presence, he can still use us in marvelous ways. He says to him, "Do not be afraid, From now on, you will be what? Catching men. Peter thought he was too sinful to be used by God. Jesus says just the opposite. Don't you love that? I mean, when we think we're so bad, when we think we can't be used by God, Jesus turns around and says, yes, you can be used by God. You're going to be a fisher of men. The word that Jesus uses here is very interesting. When he says that you'll be fishers of men, it's the verb to catch with the word for life. And so literally what he's saying is, Peter, you're going to catch alive. Catch alive, which conveys the idea of rescuing from danger. This is not what most fishermen have in mind. Most fishermen, when they go out fishing, they catch fish. It's usually to eat them or to sell them. Jesus says, Peter, I'm calling you to a new kind of fisherman. I'm calling you to be a person who is going to help rescue people from the sea of sin and bring them safely to the side of redemption. You see, evangelism is a lot like fishing. Evangelism is a lot like fishing. We should be careful. We don't take this analogy too far, but listen. By performing this miracle of all of these fish being caught and then calling Peter to be a fisher of men, Jesus was drawing a comparison. Listen, a fisherman never knows what he's going to catch. The catch is up to the sovereignty of God, right? Isn't that right? Those who go fishing, you go out there, you throw your line out, you don't know if it's going to be a bass, it's going to be a trout, it's going to be a perch. You don't know what it's going to be. It's up to the sovereignty of God. In fact, it may not be anything, which is what happens most of the time when I go fishing. It's up to the sovereignty of God. But if a fisherman refuses to drag his net or to cast his line, I will guarantee you he will not catch a thing. Guarantee it. And so you see the similarity in Christian evangelism. We are called to cast a net. We're called to cast a net by inviting our people to Bible study, by bringing our friends to church, by speaking to family members about spiritual issues, by testifying to God's goodness in our daily lives, by sending out missionaries. We are called to cast a net. And as we do these things, we trust in the sovereignty of God. Will we catch anything? Not always. But if we continue to cast the net, we will catch fishers of men. As most of you know, we haven't had a lot of baptisms this year. And question is, are we casting the net? Are we casting the net? Are we being effective? Are we doing everything that we can to reach out and to make disciples of others, to cast the net far and to cast the net wide? I want you to think with me this morning about ways that we can improve, ways that we can work together to cast that net, to draw people into the fellowship, to help them to understand who Jesus is and to see the love of God in our lives. He says, you're going to be a fisher of men. It's the third mark of a disciple. By the way, my evangelism professor, many of the teenagers heard him speak this past weekend, Dr. Alvin Reed. Dr. Reed said many times, if you're not fishing, you're probably not a believer. If you're a believer, you're fishing. Jesus says you're going to be fishers of men. Are you fishing this morning? Are you casting the net? Number four, we must leave it all behind. Let me get to this point. I want you to see this. Jesus was calling people to be his disciple. Each step along the way seemed to be getting a little bit more difficult. Some people are sitting here this morning. You just say, yeah, I like the idea of listening to Jesus. That's pretty easy. I like that. But then when you start talking about repentance and turning our sins over to God, you start getting a little uncomfortable. And then when you start talking about being fishers of men and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, things start really getting uncomfortable. Yet to be a true follower of Christ, a person must do all of these things. In fact, it's a great test of true discipleship. Ask yourself the question, am I spending time with Jesus? Am I listening to Jesus in his word? Ask yourself the question, am I truly sorry for my sins, willing to commit my sins to him? Am I sharing my faith? But that's not all. Notice what happens in verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You see what happens? This is a complete and a willful abandonment. Think about this. They left the greatest catch that they'd ever had. I mean, we would have thought it would have been okay for them to say, look, Jesus, man, these boats are about to sink with all the fish. Won't you just let me go and sell this fish and have a little bit of extra spending money? Jesus, let me just go and take my boats and put them on eBay and sell them. Let me just take care of a few things at home. You know, I need to take care of this. No. It says they left everything and followed him. This is what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. A willingness to leave it all behind. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to leave it all behind? Are you willing to leave behind the career ambitions? Are you willing to leave behind the old sins? Are you willing to leave behind the safety and the security of always having it your way? They left it all behind. This is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to follow after Jesus. Many people say they want to follow Jesus, but instead of leaving everything behind, they try to take it all with them. They call themselves Christians, but they're not willing to give up their selfish ambitions. They're not willing to give up their sinful pleasures. They're not willing to give up their comfortable surroundings. We are so comfortable in America. So comfortable with how we live and how we do things, and we don't understand what it means to truly sacrifice. Are you willing to give up everything? Imagine if Peter and his fishing buddies had tried to follow Jesus without leaving everything behind. Imagine them hauling their boats and their nets with them everywhere that Jesus went. How foolish it is to pretend that we are following Jesus when in fact we keep our lives intact the way they are. But it's not just one part of our lives. Not just one part of our lives that he tells us to give over to him. He says, I want it all. Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. He wants it all. They left everything and followed him. That means that Jesus has a desire. He wants everything. He wants your time. He wants your time. I mean, look at your calendar sometime and think about, of all the hours in the day, how much time does Jesus get? I mean, how much time does he get? You know, you got a certain amount of time that you have for work, a certain amount of time that you got for school, a certain amount of time that you've got for pleasure. Can you really say he's got everything? I've started to think about my own time. Think about the time that I spend wasting in front of the television, praying that God would help me to start scaling some of that back. I've started to put some limits on the time that I spend daily in front of the computer, daily in front of the television, looking at the time that is spent, the time that is wasted. Because listen, friends, once that time is wasted, you can't get it back, right? You can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. And so think about that. What is God demanding of you this morning? God demands not just our time, he also demands our money. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're getting to start meddling now. They left everything. They left everything and followed after him. So what does that mean for you? Look at your checkbook. Look at your bank statements. Do those things reflect a disciple of Christ? Do those things reflect a person who has surrendered everything to him? Listen, after the this past year, I was thinking about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. There was such a need, such a pressing need. And then I preached a couple of weeks ago about the 4.5 billion people that are dying every single, the 4.5 billion people that have not heard the message of Jesus Christ. I started to think, what are some things that we can do? What are some things that I can do to make it so that at the end of the year, whenever we sit down and we think about what can I give the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? What can I give to help those missionaries that are on the field right now? You know, so many times at the end of the year, we get down and we're thinking, man, I've got Christmas coming up and I've got all of this. How am I going to get something to give to Lottie Moon? So here's what I've decided to do. I have a Christmas account, all right, that I set up, and I put a little bit of money in there every month to make sure that when Christmas comes around, you know, there's money in the Christmas account to buy the Christmas presents. So I thought, why not take that Christmas account, and why not double the money that I'm putting in there each month? And so that at the end of the year, when December rolls around, I don't have to think, well, how am I going to squeeze out this amount of money to give to Lottie Moon? I've already got it there. I've been saving it all year long. Now, certainly that means I'm going to have to, you know, cut a little bit somewhere else in those other 12 months. But I think it's worth it. And then you think about those 4.5 billion people that haven't had a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about it. God says, I want everything. Well, I want everything. I want you to give me everything. They left everything and followed after him. Listen, true discipleship is always costly because it means giving up what we want for so that we can have what Jesus wants us. It's always costly. Costly because it cost him. It cost him so very much. We sit here today and we think about what it means to be a disciple. We think about the things that it might cost us. We think about listening to him. We think about being repentant. We think about all of those things. Listen, it cost Jesus Christ his blood and his life so that we could have these things. So that we can call ourselves a disciple, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have the grace that it takes to be a disciple. This morning, let me ask you these four questions as we close. Number one, are you listening to Jesus? Number two, are you repenting of your sin? Number three, are you fishing and casting a net? And number four, are you willing to give up everything to be a disciple of Jesus? I hope and pray that God would challenge your heart as he's challenged mine, that we might be disciples that love Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you this morning. And God, we know that there is a lot that is in this word. There's a lot in this passage of Scripture. And Father, we need your grace this morning to come and to help us to be the disciples that you want us to be. Father, I pray right now for men and women that are here today, that God, that you would help us to listen. But God, not just listen, help us to obey your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to search our hearts, and God, to see Jesus Christ for who he is. And as we see Jesus for who he is, God, we would repent of our sins, our pride, our self-righteousness. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us. Help us, God, to cast a net, to be fishers of men, to have a heart for the lost, a heart for our neighbors that need Jesus. God, help us this morning. Father, most importantly, I pray that we would be willing to give you all, to give you everything that we have, because you've given us so very much. Father, speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing a familiar song, but I pray that it would mean something new and fresh to you this morning. The song is, I Have Decided. Stand with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. What is Jesus saying to you this morning about being a disciple? Are you willing? Are you willing to follow him? Listen to God speak to your heart. God's spoken about something in your life this morning that you need to confess, if you need to come and receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, whatever your decision is, let's listen to God speak. Let's respond to His Word this morning as we sing, "I Have Decided."